Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Agrotech Foods Q4 FY17 earnings conference call hosted by Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajay Thakur from Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Thakur.
Thanks, Lizanne. Hi everyone. I welcome you all to Q4 FY17 results earnings conference call for Agrotech Foods Limited. From the management, we have with us Mr. Sachin Gopal, Managing Director, Mr. Arijit Datta, CFO. We shall begin with a brief on Q4 FY17 results, and after that, we will follow it up with the Q&A session. I shall now hand over the call to Mr. Sachin Gopal. Over to you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Ajay, and good afternoon, everybody. As usual, we'll walk you through the P&L and the key highlights, and after that, then we can get directly into the Q&A. All right. So if you walk through the P&L, really, we've ended the year with close to about a 3% growth in net sales, and I'll add the quarter figures in as well as and when they're relevant, right? And the breakup of that really is that the total foods business within this, right, that includes all aspects of the food business, both the branded foods business that we sell and the vending business that we include, was stable at 171.3 crores, right? So in effect, in both FY16 and 17, the total foods business, including the vending business, was about 171-odd crores. However, within this, the mix changed significantly during the year because, as you all know, we experienced some amount of decline in the vending business. That, however, got completely offset by the growth in the branded consumer foods business, which increased from about 144 crores to about 160 crores during the quarter, okay? So in sum, a total foods business of about 171-odd crores. Given the fact that the vending business declined, the branded consumer part of non-vending part of the business increased by about 12% from 144 to 160 crores. I'll come to more details a little later in the course of the presentation. All right. In terms of gross margin, and that's the way we measure it in terms of net sales less cost of goods, our gross margin increased from about 182.7 crores for the year to about 188.1 crores for the year. So that represents an increase of about 3%. As you walk down the other lines of the P&L, you can see here that basically our advertising and promotion expenses didn't change too much. We told you that consistently during the year that it would be about a crore plus minus here and there, and that's exactly the way it panned out. So as you can see from the reporting, the A&P expenses were about 41.3 crores versus about 42 and a bit crores last year, right? So give or take a bit in the same region. Specifically for the quarter, they increased a lot, and that was consistent with the fact that our spends were a little lower in quarter three than the prior year, if I recall correctly. We didn't have any significant increase in employee benefits and expenses, which increased only by about a crore. That's despite the fact that we had additional employee costs on account of the 200-odd people that we had hired in the prior year in retail, and this year we had the full year cost of those people and another 60-odd people that we've hired for wholesale. So mostly, we were able to pay for most of the incremental costs through cost savings in other areas of the organization, which is altogether a good thing. And as you will also see from the P&L, the net interest cost was relatively low, only at about 30 lakhs as we worked down our corn inventory and therefore reduced our borrowings. In addition, obviously, we got the one-time benefit of about 4.2 crores on account of income tax refund on the interest on account of the slump sale, leaving a net interest cost only of about 30-odd lakhs, right? As a consequence, therefore, we had a very, very, very good growth in our profit before tax, which increased by about 23%, up from about 35.5 crores to about 46 crores, and also a significant increase in profit after tax. However, the profit after tax was also impacted, and I think I would have mentioned this in an earlier call, by about 1.45 crore on account of a charge which DSIR had allowed us earlier for the years 2012 to 2015, which they raised some questions on, which we accepted, and therefore there was an incremental tax charge in the current year, corresponding to the sum of 1.45 crores. In total, therefore, how does the summary of growth look like by brand? On the Sunrock Oils business, we had a volume growth of about 2% this year with a revenue growth of about 3%. Peanut butter clocked about a 26% growth in volume and an 18% growth in value. As we had commented to you about three quarters ago, I think I had mentioned that we had faced some amount of pressure on peanut butter because we had lost some share in some segments of the trade to Fun Foods. However, they came under a fairly severe attack on their core business. At the same time, we were also able to respond very well with our larger pack formats. And as a consequence of that, we were able to actually really pull up the volume growth in the latter part of the year. And as you will see later in the quarter four results, actually the volumes grew by almost 70%. Anyhow, coming back to the year, for the year, therefore, peanut butter growing by about 26% in volume and an 18% growth in revenue. The active consumer business, this includes both the ready-to-cook business and the ready-to-eat business, grew by about 11% in both volume and value. You have to factor in, however, here that the revenue growth is on the ready-to-cook part of the business lower by about 150 to 200 basis points because we had excess duty coming in for the entire course of last year. Ceteris paribus, this revenue growth corresponding to this without the impact of that excise would probably have been in the region of about 12 to 13%, which means they're starting to get into the mid double digit as far as that is concerned. Our crystal oil business grew by 3% in volume and 4% in revenue, and the vending business in total, both the corn and the tortilla chips business there in vending declined by about 64-65%. And in total, therefore, we had growth in volume in the year of about 1% and a revenue growth of about 3%. Coming now to the quarter, the quarter four itself, how did it pan out? Not too different, broadly speaking, in the edible oil business, but some differences in the foods business. Sunrock Oils grew by about 3% in volume and about 4% in revenue, so pretty much consistent with the full year figures. Peanut butter grew by about 70% in the quarter on volume and about 46% in revenue. So that's really explained by the fact that the larger pack formats did well. We did well in the marketplace as well. And our competitor also, I think, came under some amount of pressure. And therefore, you know, it was altogether a good quarter for peanut butter and a nice close to the year, right? In terms of the active business, the volume growth was about 12% and the revenue growth was similar at about 11%. Crystal was flat in volume and declined negative 2 in revenue. And the vending business was down about 50% or so in revenue terms. Right? In total, therefore, for the quarter, we were up about 3% in volume and 4% in revenue. The good thing in this quarter was that if you look at the business through the lens of the food business, which I had explained earlier when I gave you the full year figure, which was the 171.3, less the 10 odd for the vending business in the current year, and a growth of about 12%. In the current year, that part of the business, the foods business without vending, actually grew in this quarter by about 16%, right? Which means if you go back and look at the quarterly trends, quarter one was about 12 and quarter two was 12 as well. Quarter three was 8, so probably some amount of impact of demonetization. And quarter four was a very nice 16. So we'll have to see really how quarter one pans out to know, are we at 15-16 or are we at 12-30? Right? We do know that we spent a good amount of money in quarter four of this year. As you can see from the advertising spends, they're significantly up, which would also, I'm sure, have contributed to the healthy level of growth. And let's see how quarter one pans out. If quarter one also pans out in the 15-16% range, then we know that it wasn't entirely due to demonetization and there was a significant momentum. And then we're on track to, you know, to get to a near-term goal of 20%. However, if it's otherwise, we will just have to revisit that when we have the quarter one quarterly call in the month of July 2017. In terms of the balance sheet, I would say nothing surprising, nothing eventful to report. As you can see, now we are down to about 17 crores of borrowing. We were at about 96 crores at the beginning of the year. So as we had mentioned to you earlier, that we're pretty much on track, and in the first half of this year, we should be debt-free and therefore have money in the bank rather than be borrowing. And I would say that's pretty much largely driven by the inventory of corn, where you know we've been consuming corn regularly, but we obviously haven't imported much since we had a reasonable cover for the corn. Let me just check with Arijit, is there any other substantive points that we need to brief the analysts on? No? Okay. I think, Ajay, that's it from our side. We are happy to start the Q&A, so I'm sure the as usual folks are very smart and they'll have a lot of questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon, sir. Two questions from my side. First of all, the kind of growth that you have seen this quarter in your bagged snacks business. And secondly, the retail outlets now we are reaching with peanut butter and bagged snacks.
Okay. Give me a moment, Sameer, because I'm just writing down your question. So, there was a... Yeah. So, the first part of your question in the bagged snacks business, that's the ready-to-eat. So let me clarify that that includes Acto Nachos, it includes our ready-to-eat popcorn, and it includes the extruded snacks. That grew in revenue by about 19% this quarter, right? So it's about a 19% growth in revenue that we saw in the bagged snacks business. Most of it driven by Nachos, which is doing extremely well. In terms of the retail distribution, I would say on peanut butter, as you know, we don't buy audits, so we'll have to rely on our internal figures. In terms of peanut butter, it will probably be in the region of about 50,000 stores. Our estimate is that in, 2016, this figure would have been about 40,000 stores, and our estimate is that we added about 10,000 stores as far as peanut butter is concerned. I won't be able to give you a total bagged snacks number in terms of all of them put together, but as far as Nachos is concerned, that will be our most widely distributed one, so you can use that as a surrogate. FY16, I think our estimate is we were at about 20,000 stores, and FY17, our estimate is that we've gotten to about 34,000 stores. We've actually seen healthy increases in distribution across the board. As you know that we had employed these 200 odd people in FY16, and we were going to transfer these people, the beats that these folks were covering on the distributor salesman role. During the year, about 175, meaning beats corresponding to about 175 of these salesmen were actually transferred from a company role to distributor payroll, and then these 200 people went on to build new stores. So our estimate is that we probably increased our coverage by about 40,000 stores last year, right? Not a very precise figure, but broadly speaking, should be in the right ballpark. Yeah?
Great, sir. Thanks a lot. That's all from us.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and want to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Percy Pandaki from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on sales acceleration. Basically, just wanted to understand in terms of your manufacturing infrastructure, are there any upcoming plans? And if so, is there any capex likely for the same? And secondly, I also wanted to ask if basically what are the plans in terms of your bag snacks business on a 3-4 year basis? What are the new products, or I mean, even in the existing products, what is the growth rate CAGR over the next 3 to 4 years? Because you are coming from a very, very small base, maybe 10 to 20 crores. So what kind of aspiration of growth do we have on that?
Okay. So thanks, Bobby. So in terms of manufacturing infrastructure, we are now up to about 5 plants. We started the Guwahati plant, the commercial production, in the month of March, as we had mentioned to you in the last quarter call. So we now have manufacturing facilities in Mangaluru near Guwahati, in Unnao near Lucknow and Kanpur, in Kashipur in Uttarakhand, in Jhagadia in Gujarat, and in Kothur in Hyderabad, right? We are starting the construction of our sixth plant in Chittoor, right? Which is designed to service the states of Tamil Nadu, Kerala, and Karnataka, right? For us to be effective nationalist player. So five plants doesn't give us, take us fully there to our seven plant model, seven plus plant in Telangana, but it's getting us there. Bad snacks growth, honestly, we are very, very small. We are like about a 20 odd crore business today, right? If you include the Sundrop peanut business, 21 crores, 18 odd crores on the active business, and it's very small. So I think no number is big enough. Our own internal aspiration would be significant. It will not be in the 20% range, right? It will be in the 50, 60, those kind of numbers. The trick really is in getting a cost structure which is as good as the existing backpack players in the marketplace, right? So the existing players clearly in the marketplace, people like Haldiram, others, have been in it for a large number of times, right? And we need to be able to master the art, both in terms of input ingredient and packaging material cost, and in terms of scalability as we get in manufacturing and efficiency in that. So I think we have one part of it, we have now cracked, which is, the sourcing in terms of multiple points, not fully, but at least 80%, 70% there. And now we are working on the other part. So how, to do all the benchmarking to be as efficient as them. There is honestly no limit, right? The bottom of the pyramid is growing. There is no doubt about it. Whether it's captured in Houston or otherwise, but it's growing. All the data on all our market visits indicate that the smaller towns, the smaller wholesale centers are really growing at an incredible scale. So it's just a question of our getting our act together and refining our business model. And that's where I think we've always said, I think our business model is clear now on three categories, on peanut butter, on ready-to-cook popcorn, and on active nachos, where we have strong positions. And good margins, these three together last year would be about 150 crores, right? And growing very nicely, right? So that's nice, nice incremental margin, 30% plus in terms of gross margin. So, all flowing through the P&L. On ready-to-eat popcorn and extruded snacks is where more work needs to be done, right? So we'll see how it goes. Obviously, our aspirations always will be higher than we'll be trying to stretch ourselves. The proof of the pudding will be in the eating, so which we'll report back to you in the current quarter. In terms of portfolio, the portfolio will continue to widen. There will be more new launches, obviously, because once you get mastery in this part of the field, it's much easier to extend, as the local players have done. Right, so you will see some. Let's play it by ear, and we'll report back to you as and when we do it. I don't want to pre-announce anything at this point in time.
Sir, just one follow-up. You can take it maybe at the end if you have time. Sir, just wanted to understand from the point of view of your cost structure. I mean, one of the things which I think is constraining you is that you don't have that seven plant model and you have only maybe four or five plants. And therefore, your freight cost increases to that extent. But even with a four or five plant, I am sure you can cover 50% of India, which is close to those plants at a very low cost. And that itself is a very big opportunity. So why are we waiting for that seven plant model to fall in place before we really push growth faster?
I'll cover it up, 100%. I'll do that. Thank you.
Mr. Pandaki, are you done with the question?
Yes.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star in one. Participants, in order to ask a question, you may please press star in one. We'll take the next question from the line of Janani Rajshekar from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. The first one is really, can you tell us what exactly the sales and growth from baked food specifically year on year?
Sorry, when you say baked food, you mean what?
Baked snacks. You have, your baked snacks, bagged snacks.
Okay.
I think.
Anything else?
And the second question is, wanted to know the number of distributors that you have currently and have added in the last year for Act 2 for Sundrop And for bag snacks, I think you told us. Yeah, thanks.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. So the first question, then, I would interpret as relating to our extruded snacks. I would say our extruded snacks probably would be flattish during the year because we were in the process of getting our price pack architecture right, and even right now that's currently work in progress. So it will be in the region of about 5 crores, right?
Okay.
Because you take out from 171, take out about 10 for vending, that leaves 161. Of that, I've already told you that the other three profitable parts were about 150 crores. Take 5 for ready to eat popcorn and 5 for the extruded snacks. Okay. In terms of distributors, we will now be at about between 650 and 700 distributors. We would have added about 80 to 100 distributors last year. We need to keep adding about 100 odd distributors every year. That's currently the track they're going at, and that's happening. That goes hand in hand with the coverage expansion, if you will.
Okay.
So, and those distributors are, they are valid for all parts. We don't discriminate, so we don't have distributors separately for Act 2 and everybody handles everything.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
So, is there time, ma'am? I can just answer Percy's question, or is there somebody else waiting with a question there?
Sir, we have another question. Can we
go ahead
with it?
Yeah, we can go ahead. I'll return to Percy later. Yeah.
Sure. The next question is in the line of Bimal Sampat, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Sir, now that we are increased portfolio, have you looked at retail kind of in malls or metro stations? If we can have small kiosk kind of thing, it will make people aware of our products. Have you looked at it, or is it there in your future plan?
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Sambal. Any other part of the question?
No, but that's all.
That's all. Okay. See, that's a valid question. So the answer is yes, we've looked at it. It's a very different business, right? So the big global benchmark on this is a company called Garrett's. They work out of Chicago, and today they have a presence in Singapore, Japan, Dubai. They haven't haven't entered India to the best of my knowledge so far. So it is a nice business. Even PVR is trying. You would have seen probably in some places PVR has tried to open little popcorn stores, and there are a few other people who have actually tried this both in Delhi and have done it in Bombay. It's a nice business. It's a different business, but yeah, okay. It's a different business because the nature of skill sets that you require for this business are very different from the nature of skill sets that you require for running an FMCG business. To start with, licensing, managing, all of that. So we actually done a complete evaluation of this, right? And the question was, can we do a Garrett's type of operation in India? And our conclusion that when we last did that exercise, and we do it probably every once in 2 years. Again, we did it about eight, nine months ago. And we concluded that right now, the size of prize of the opportunity that is there ahead of us in terms of a growing snack business, which today already the snack market is more than $3 billion, it's 25,000 crores, it'll double to 50,000 crores. We are better off putting our focus and resources on driving that, right? Now, does that mean that we don't play at all on it? Not at all. We actually have some franchises. So if you go to airports like Mumbai and Ahmedabad, you will actually see there are two stands there. And there are third parties who are actually working with us, who actually manage their entire infrastructure, because that's not a skill set that we have today, right? There are also, as you know, other companies who have attempted to do that. Hindustan Unilever has tried it with coffee stores, I think, in Mumbai. It's a little different from FMCG, right? That doesn't mean there's a large potential. I think there will be a potential, but it's not our piece of cake right now. Am I saying that it will never be? I think the answer is no. But we have much larger opportunities and work to do actually to win in this rapidly growing snacks market with a large size of price. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. And new launches this year, do we have 2-3 at least?
Yeah, I'll answer that question now at the end. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. Participants, in order to ask a question, you may please press star in one.
Ma'am, what I'll do is I'll go through and answer Percy's question, and then we can, if there's anybody else, you just come in, okay?
Sure.
So Percy, on your question, the answer is yes. That's the specific question actually. If you're not ready to be a national player, why can't you be a regional player in the regions where you do things to have a right to win? And the answer is yes. That's something. But as I said, there are two parts to enabling us to win in this large and very competitive snacks market. One is obviously having the plant locations, but also having the nice, right, cost structure of our product, right? So as I've said earlier, and I've said again, we're still, that's WIP. We don't really have all the cost structures in this business right, right? And I repeat, we are competing with companies who've been there 40, 50 years in this business, right? So that's work in progress. We recognize it, and I've called it out earlier. It will happen, right? But we also have to manage it, right? There is a cost of obsolescence, there is a cost of change, and we have to manage it to be able to continue to meet the expectations of all of our shareholders, right? So it is not that you're going to take a huge punt and be willing, you know, to lose a large amount of money. There is a cost of mistakes which are made whenever you try and refine a business model. We have a certain amount of money that we keep for that, right? And we stay within that. So my expectation is that we will get closer and we will refine it. But your point is right. I think they will both go hand in hand, right? We will refine the cost structure. We'll get that part of it right. And then we'll, as we continue to expand the plant structures. So it's a subject I commented on earlier. And honestly speaking, my answer will be the same. You know, we will discuss it again 3 months from now. This is something to your question. Yes, there will be at least two or three. We actually have no option but to launch a lot of new products. As we wrote in our annual report last year, in all of our businesses, whether it's snacks or spreads or peanut butter, we're going to see a lot of competition at all ends of the market. There'll be competition from new people at the top of the market. For example, in peanut butter, we have a scheduled innovation which is coming in, but there is also people who are selling natural peanut butter, you know. So there's a lot which is already available, let's say, in the U.S. So we will have to continue to deal with this, both at the top end, to deal with more agile and nimbler entrepreneurs who today have avenues like the internet, e-commerce available without having the legacy distribution costs that a large-scale company would have. At the same time, we have to have muscles to play at the bottom, right? So you will see a flow of products from us both at the bottom end of the market and at the top end of the market. The top end is what will drive our margin growth, right? And the bottom end is what will give us the scale that our margin drivers, the ones which actually make money and are very profitable, large competitive advantage, right to win, that those we can afford the cost of getting them into all the cities that we want them to get into. There's a lot of growth in smaller cities today. It's visible as we go into these towns and cities. Urbanization is taking its own form, not necessarily of coming into the larger metros like Delhi and Bombay, but simply going to the metro which is available closer to their hometown, and so, or non-metro even for that matter. So there's a lot of growth there. Our challenge is, now that we're gradually getting our portfolio right, how do we get the distribution capability that our profitable products we are able to place in and continue to get good growth on them? Okay. All right, man, that's you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and want to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rahul Maheshwari from IDBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. I have a couple of questions. First of all, what's the market share into your sun-drop edible oil? Because in FY16, it was in the range of 35 to 40% kind of market share. So whether you have been in that range or it has been fallen down. And if the industry like Marico's volume growth was 6%, so why there was a 2%, there was a volume growth of just 3% kind of thing for sun-drop edible oil, and they have come up with olive oil market. So going forward, would you be coming up with such variants, having a blend of different oils kind of thing? And second question was regarding the mix, the segment which is there, the major, the sun-drop is driving the growth 60 to 65% kind of. So going forward 3 years down the line, what the breakup can be in terms of the ratio? How much would be from the Act 2 and how much would be from sun-drop edible oil?
Okay, so I unfortunately am not able to give you any market share data on oil because we don't purchase the retail audit. We stopped that almost about 2 years ago. Okay. So you will have to rely on our competitor. They've already announced the results for this quarter and last year. And as you correctly said, that, you know, they've reflected a 6% growth in revenue versus our 4% growth in revenue. Right? So we should just take that growth at face value. I'm sure there's nothing wrong in the data that they are reflecting. As to why, that is clear. We made a choice and our competitors also made a choice. So if you see, and let me give you the number of the spending, we spent about 3.5 crores last year on Sunrob edible oils in media. Saffola spent about 32 crores and Adani behind Fortune spent about 47 crores. All right. So we made our choice that we are going to have a level of spending which is ensures that this business remains healthy and, you know, we are able to have the adequate level of profitability as a category. But we will continue to spend behind the future of the business, which is far potentially more profitable and also where the moats are far better than an edible oil business, right? So compared to that, if you see, last year we have spent about close to 6 crores on peanut butter. Last year, the year before that also we spent 6 crores. And we are steadily spending this type of money. And this is giving us growth because we are building a new category, right? We expect the peanut butter business to, you know, grow continually. And we, as I've said several times, we expect this to be at least 100 odd crore business with a nice profit margin. And it's a category that we would have built. So it's a choice we are making. We can be an edible oil business, which is dabbling in foods, right? But then our priority will always be edible oil, and we'll come back and say, oh, by the way, the food business didn't grow, or there were other issues, etc., etc. Or we can be an edible oil player, which says we are building a great food business. So we are in the latter category.
Yeah, but can you give a description that the Sunrob edible oil, which is there, no doubt it's a pan India, but where the geographic mix is, where the higher sales are coming from which region it's more penetrated kind of thing?
Okay. I'll come back to that part of the question later, because, you know, we'll go in order. And lastly, I hadn't finished, so in terms of Saffola, olive oil, yes, they've launched an olive oil. We had also launched an olive oil blend some time ago, which we withdrew, right?
Okay.
So we don't, you know, we are, if need be, we'll evaluate if it is a viable opportunity that we didn't see earlier, we will look at it. There's no hard and fast rule or anything, but these are the choices that we have. Okay, I'll definitely come back on your part on the...
And can you give the segment mix means in terms of how much is edible oil and crystal and the peanut butter and act 2 and going forward for next 2 to 3 years, what the ratios, how the ratio can be changed in terms of the segment percentage to sales?
I'll do. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants that you may press star and want to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ajay Thakur from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just had a few questions. Firstly, on the GST front, actually, what kind of implication and preparation are we doing for the same, as in what kind of implication we expect from the GST rollout? And what kind of, you know, preparation have we made for the same? Also, if you can throw some light on the indirect taxes we have currently, and what are the likelihood of, you know, this indirect taxes going up to, as in post GST? That is the first question. And secondly, on the ad spend front, you had indicated that, you know, ad spends will be something that you know, you like to increase it going forward. Given that we have already 5 units now on stream. So can we expect some more action on the ad spend front and the distribution front?
Okay, thanks, Ajit. So the first question on GST, I think in general it seems to be proceeding well across the country. There are really two key areas of, if you will, focus that we need to ensure on. One is obviously going to be the whole issue of you know, the fact that our books and our vendors' books or our business partners' books, if you will, right? And, you know, what we are claiming by way of credit, it is uploaded in their books, so on and so forth, right? I don't think that process is going to be perfect. And, you know, there are going to be glitches as we go along because it finally is going to work on the efficiency of the entire ecosystem, right? And different parts of it are going to come or achieve 100% compliance at different points in time. So there could be some minor working capital issues, but you know, aside from that, we don't see any significant issue. I think we are also very reasonably comfortable that, you know, we, when demonetization happened, to be honest, we felt so quite comfortably, right? So I think that while we will have to do, there'll have to be a lot of hard work which will be done and long hours which will have to be worked, I think overall we are comfortable that we should be able to manage the administration and the execution of GST. The other part from a GST perspective is long term is all of us are going to need more space at factories for storage, right? You're going to clear all the goods X factory now, and therefore there is going to be a need to be able to have storage in the plants, which is something that we've been cognizant of for a while. It's also going to enable inter-plant transfer much more easily. It is going to enable shipments directly from the plant more easily. So there's going to be a lots of new dimensions to it, right? So that's something which has been work in progress, and wherever it's possible, we've actually ensured that our plants do have the excess space that's going to be required to cope with this as the whole logistics piece changes. Having said that, it's going to change slowly. It's not going to happen in a day. New routes will be formed, especially those across states, and that's going to take some time to work on. In terms of indirect taxes, I think all our data shows it's a kind of a wash. We don't seem at this point in time anticipate any significant negative. We don't anticipate any significant positive, right? Both in the snacks business, the spreads business, and the edible oil business, right? So I would say our take is it's a wash. And, you know, as and when the rates get announced, only then we'll all have a better idea. Until then, it's only a, you know, one can speculate one way or the other, but it doesn't really add to any value. So we are working, game plan is it's a wash and let's work on that. If it's different, we'll address it as we go along. And last on ad spend, I think we've always said that about a 6 to 7% is where we see ourselves. And as our margins start to improve, we can certainly look at a higher level of spend, right? So we are today at about a 24-odd% gross margin, right? And I think as we start to get towards the 30s, yes, you know, we'll be looking to increase this percentage, but not right now. So I would say in the near term, as you're asking, in the current FY18, are we looking at significant change? Are we going up to 9% or something like that? Probably not. So I would say certainly not. However, it looks like all the signs are good. Our profitable food businesses are growing well. As I said, the business has grown by about 16% last quarter. And if these businesses start to grow 16%, 20%, then certainly there will be more money available for us to spend. If there's money available for us to spend, we'll certainly put it on the table. But it won't lead to a transformational change away from where we are today. I think this is in the 6-odd% range. Hmm? Okay?
Okay, thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. Participants, in order to ask a question, you may please press star and one.
So, Ajay, is there no more questions? Should we close? What do you think?
Yes, sir. You can just have, you can just, you know, take down the 2 to 3 questions that we're left for the answering, and then we can close down for the day.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, sir. So basically, I think there's only one part of the business, yeah, two questions really. One is on the geographical spread. I would say not such a significant change across the country. Yes, we are a little stronger in South and East than we are in the North and the West on the edible oil business. And certainly popcorn is a lot, is better in the north than it would be. But the gap is not so much, I would say, as it would have been some years ago, right? I would say the greater gap is not by geography, but in terms of town class, right? As you go beyond the top 20 cities or 25 cities, then our distribution strength is not so consistent, right? And the number of towns or the quality of distribution that we would have would certainly not be as good as it would be in a Delhi or a Bombay. So that would be the greater discriminator in our view. In terms of the business, you can see that, you know, last year would our foods business would have been about 22% of our business. If you take the 171 and divide it by the, you know, close to 800 odd crore figure, that's the number percentage that you'll get. You can also see that out of the 170, about 160 was the foods business, the non-vending business. So that continues to grow. I think we are looking at close to between a 24-25% or so figure in the current year. That would be roughly what we would be looking for. we should expect to see continued growth in an incremental manner, meaning in an accretive manner almost every year over the next 2 to 3 years. Right? At what stage will the tipping point be in terms of whether food business becomes so important? Probably somewhere around 35% is where it will start to make a significant difference also in the distribution network. But for now, I think our task is just to get there. Okay? So with that, I'll close. Ladies and gentlemen, Ajay, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it. And, you know, you have a great day and look forward to talking to you after 3 months. Okay. Cheers.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Anand Rathi Shares and Stocks, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.